Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And just a quick word, you know that love letters are for anybody at any time. You have a pleasant thought or a memory, write it down, stamp it, and mail it, and see what happens. Today's guest is Jamie Ann Burke, who is an actress in Los Angeles, and we just met 3 minutes ago.
Yes, we did.
So I'm going to go to you and just talk a minute about where you're from and what when you knew you wanted to be an actress. How did you know could?
Well, I am from Orange County. I was born in Lubbock, Texas, but I grew up in Orange County. So,
what brought your family to Orange County?
My dad actually got a job offer for Allergan, and he's a research scientist. Uh-huh. He works on glaucoma in the eyes. So he develops drugs for glaucoma. He developed Alphagan, if anyone uses it, and
probably a lot of people do.
If you have glaucoma,
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. He developed and created that drug, and because of his successes, and we actually all got to move to Orange County.
Okay.
Now we're California people.
Yes. Okay. So how old were you?
I was three. So,
I'm you're an LA girl.
I'm a California girl, an Orange County girl. I went to UCLA, so now
I read that about you. I did read that. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm an LA girl, and
so what was your growing up life? Were you one of these kids who did plays in the garage for the neighbors?
So I was actually. I was kind of the bossy older sister who forced my two twin brothers and my sister to all do plays, like the Christmas play. You know, I would cast myself as Mary, of course. But they were, you know, the wise men and the Christmas tree. And, you know, I made them sing. And it was fun. I loved directing. I loved performing for my parents. I didn't study acting in college. I studied electrical engineering.
Oh, yes, I read that also. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
What took you to that?
My life goes in so many different directions. I was actually reading in my fifth grade yearbook a couple days ago that I wanted to be a doctor or an athlete when I was younger. And then when I got to college, I was undeclared. So I tried so many different majors, so many different classes, from communications to anthropology to religion. You know, I just really loved learning in general. Mm-hmm. And actually, the story is kind of funny, but I was dating an electrical engineer who was getting his master's in electrical engineering.
So that was a good motivation. Right.
So he said, hey, why don't you try this? I loved coding. So I took this class, and I was doing the computer science coding, and I loved it. And then he's like, why don't you learn the hardware and the software? So I decided to do electrical engineering with a computer science option. And it was so hard. It was so fun because
is it harder than coding?
Coding and electrical engineering. Learning about all the different like transistors and, you know, resistors and all this stuff. It's just a lot that goes into it. But I realized when I graduated that if I can do engineering, I could do anything.
Good. Okay. But so what took you over to acting? It's so different.
So I promptly quit. When I graduated, I worked for a couple years in consulting, and then I realized, you know, I have one.
In what field?
It was security technology consulting for Accenture,
goodness.
And then I decided, and it was great, you know, traveling every week. It was like the life and the money, and it was great. But I really wanted to do something for myself, and I kind of just want my life to be fun. I didn't want specific, you know, it had to be a notable career or anything. I just wanted it to have fun. And I had taken an acting class in junior high, and I liked it, and even when I was a consultant, I was taking some classes, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be an actor.
Oh.
Yeah. I was taking it on the side. So I would be in San Francisco taking classes or in Texas taking classes. I did that in Capoeira classes. So when I did that, I would have been an actress. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what Hollywood is about, but I decided just to jump in. I quit my job. I got a promotion for my job.
And then quit?
And then quit. got the bonus and then quit. And so I jumped in, you know, kind of blindly to Hollywood, because it's a lot more difficult than I would say even electrical engineering, because with acting, you really have to be introspective and learn about yourself. And I was actually pretty shy as a person, a very insecure person. Growing up in Orange County, I'm an African American. There's not a lot of people like me, and I was always, I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere, you know? And so I would mumble a lot. I wouldn't, you know, in front of my parents, of course, I do plays and stuff, but in front of other people, shy, wouldn't say hi or, you know.
You're so beautiful. You have to go through such a thing.
Well, I think it's a part of it, right? You learn. And now when I go back to Orange County, a lot of people are still like that. You know, you'd go to Costco after church and not say hi to the person you just sat next to in church.
You would not say hi, or they would not say hi.
Everybody
would not say hi.
It's just it's part of the culture, at least back then. You would go to church with these same
people. Because of race, or just because people are distant and disconnected?
I think distant and disconnected. I don't think it was just because of race. Uh-huh. Race just made me feel insecure.
I see. Okay, so that wasn't theory. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, oh, my hair is different, my body shape different, my skin color is different. You know, like, who am I? What, you know.
But everything you have is not anything that anybody else wouldn't die to have.
Now.
Because I'm looking at your body. Okay.
Well, now I'm sorry. Like, thank you, Kim Kardashian, for making big butts popular, because that was not popular back in the day. I used to get made fun of because of that, and even not fitting into the African American culture because I speak, you know, a certain way. I speak like Orange County people, so they're like, "You're not black enough," and and so, you know, not fitting into either one, it was pretty difficult, and so I was a little shy.
Yeah, okay.
But being an actress, you learn to overcome a lot. You learn to be brave. You learn to accept failure or, you know, rejection a lot. You have to wake up every day and be self-motivated, because you can sleep all day and nobody will care.
Nobody will know you're there.
No one will even know you exist or
alive. If you're doing that,
yeah. So
what's the next step after acting classes? How do you translate that into "Here I am, cast me in something"?
Well,
there is enormous competition.
Oh yeah,
endless gorgeous looking people I see walking down the street. Yeah. Endless talent. What do you do next?
I feel you have to be brave enough to put yourself out there.
But how do you do that?
And for me, my transition was a little non-traditional because I did take a lot of classes, and then I did a lot of extra work. And then so
you knew where to sign up for that is what I'm asking.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You look at LA Casting, Actors Access, and those are...
Just for anybody who's listening, you might want to know what
to
do.
Yeah, those are the basic ones. Some tips I would say is make sure you get... You know, quality headshots, quality, you know, just get the best you can. I mean, a lot of times we're just trying to go for the cheapest thing. Oh, this is very inexpensive. Let me get this. My friend could take me a picture. Let me do that. Don't do that because you're in competition with people who have the best. And maybe you don't need to spend like $800 on a picture, but maybe it will be $300 for some looks. And, but
do you get various looks so that you can send different ones out to?
Yes.
Because Gail Williamson was here and she is a casting agent.
Okay.
And she was saying that if people are casting directors are going through so many hundreds and thousands of photographs to cast a part, that if they're looking for a doctor and you are lucky and smart enough to have sent one in with yourself in a white coat and a stethoscope, it's going to catch them. Is that what you find?
That's absolutely true. And sometimes you don't have to be spot on the nose with having a doctor's uniform, but you need to have that professional look so that you can lend yourself to a doctor, a lawyer, a police person. You know, you have to have the look. You have to have your hair up sometimes, have your hair down. You know,
so what's the look that speaks for you, for the kind of parts you like?
Well, goodness gracious, my dream part is kind of that action hero.
Okay. Laura Croft.
Croft, kind of the Kill Bill, Uma Thurman, Beatrice Kiddo kind of part. I love action. I do...
What do you like best about that?
I do Brazilian martial arts. I do capoeira.
Oh, okay.
So it's such a beautiful art. It's you're flowing, you're moving, but yet you're aggressive and you can kick and punch and you're lethal. But it looks like almost like water, like a dance that two people do. So that's what attracted me to capoeira. And just being that strong, I mean, I grew up on Xena Warrior Princess. I mean,
yes,
come on.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah.
So looking at that, being young and into sports, I was, you know, I really wanted to kind of emulate that. So that would be a dream for me to play that kind of part here in a Hollywood film. So we'll see, you know, I'll keep my hopes
up. You have an agent.
I have a manager for a theatrical, and I have a commercial agent. So I'm still looking for a theatrical agent. My dream right now is APA, because I had a meeting with them, and they just wanted to see more footage. So I taped some scenes from some well-known plays, like The Raisin in the Sun. And
that you have done.
That I read the plays and actually just took it upon myself to self-tape.
Oh, good for you.
Because you don't actually have to have someone professional. I mean, it was professional. I paid somebody.
Yeah, so you don't have to show yourself. It doesn't have to be
You don't have to wait for someone to cast you.
Right.
You can get a play from the library for free, read it, memorize it, learn it, have someone tape it for you, make sure you have good sound and good lighting, or you can just go to someplace that will. And I know a lot of places that that will do it for you, really quality work. And then they have just you acting, so they're not distracted with the music and the scene and the zooming in and zooming out. It's just you. Acting raw.
Straight pure.
Very pure. Yeah. And so that's one of my advice, you know, to people. Oh, I need to get a reel together. Well, you have no excuse. You can do it very easily, very cheaply. Don't try to get fancy.
And that's nice for you to give that tip to people.
Yeah.
Yes. What's your biggest challenge in all this?
The biggest challenge, I would say, is getting people to watch your work. Because there's so many people who put out work that isn't quality. I just did a photo shoot yesterday with a really nice photographer, and he said, I was just so surprised with your reel. You're really good. Because people send me stuff all the time, and it's horrible. And so I just rolled my eyes when I got yours. I didn't want to waste the 4 minutes to watch it. And he did.
That's a really telling statement, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste 4 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't blame people.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten to a state in this life where people don't want to do an extra keystroke on
especially if they don't know you. So that's the kind of the key for actors, you know, try to get to know people. And also don't think of the hit it and quit it model. Some people take, and I used to do that. Okay, I'm going to get out there. I'm going to do 70 headshots, mail them to 70 different people, and hope for the best. And that's kind of a horrible model, because it's just this person just... For them, it's just a one-time thing. They don't know you. Okay, they see a picture and they throw it
easily
away.
Easily disposable you are.
Easy.
Yeah.
But what if you took just 10 people and you marketed to them over and over and over? Mm-hmm. Maybe you emailed them, and then send them a postcard, and then called them.
Aren't we just getting right into the love letter segue?
Yeah.
Because it makes a personal connection.
Yeah.
You make it's that huge.
And they need repetition.
Yes.
You need to see someone over and over until they think, oh, wait, I know them. Let me look at their stuff, because I hear their name, or I see their face or something. I know you. And I've had people say that to me. And for me, sometimes I forget that I'm so constantly.
Well, you know, I said that when you walked in here and we introduced ourselves. And the first thing I said was, oh, I know you from your picture.
Exactly. You know,
because
me.
Familiarity is crucial.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to be really strangers.
No.
And nobody has to be.
You don't have to. I mean, we have social media, you have Facebook, you have internet, you have still postcards and letters. You can still do that, and it'll make you stand out, because nobody's doing that.
Right.
So you have no excuse, really. But I just wanted people or other actors to know you can definitely just, you know, repeat. Just because someone doesn't answer you the first time, second time, third time. How I got The Power of the Heart, I didn't even realize, but I had...
Okay, so I want you to talk about this.
Go to that?
I want you to talk about that more fully. But I wanted to say many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, I read an article, and the theme of it was, do you know what distinguishes what quality very successful people have?
Yeah.
And do you know what that would be?
I would say perseverance.
Persistence.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Persistence.
That is the one quality.
And
well, you have to be talented and all the other things, too.
Yeah, but persistence before that.
But the
that.
Truth of the matter is sometimes people who aren't so talented, yet persistent.
Yeah, and if you're not talented, you be persistent.
You need that double.
And you get talented because
you can
learn. I don't think there's anything that you were born with that you can't learn. People say you have it. I don't think that's true. I think you can learn it. I think you can develop and tap into who you are inside.
If you have that nugget, I mean, I don't think you can do it on a dead blank slate.
I don't think anybody's a dead blank slate.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's a dead blank
slate. Because I think you can always polish up what's there.
You polish up what's there, but you have to allow yourself to see what's there.
Okay, good for you.
You have to let yourself and let other people see what's there. Too many times us as actors are hiding. We want to be seen, but we don't want to be seen. You know, we want people to know us, but we don't want them to see the real us. And you have to be okay with that vulnerability.
So that seems to tie into overcoming the shyness. I mean, that is the issue.
Yes, yes.
Okay, talk about your...
Yeah.
The film.
Okay, yes. So The Power of the Heart is a film I did last year. It was the biggest film I've ever done. You know, it was international. We shot in Amsterdam.
Wow.
I've never been flown out to another country to film.
So start from who did this who produced this?
Okay, this is the producer, one of the producers is Baptiste Pop, and it's produced by Heartworks. And the director is Drew Harriott, who directed The Secret. So everyone knows about The Secret. It's an amazing drama, a docudrama, and this is even better.
It's so even better. What can you say? It's been out for a while.
It's been out for a year, but it's been out only in very limited screenings. So it's
how can people find it?
One of
can
the
we
best
get it on
ways
Netflix?
You can definitely get it on iTunes.
Okay.
And you can get it at thepowerofheheart.com.
Okay.
Those are the two ways. And how I got involved is just so just serendipity at its finest. I was doing an indie.com competition, my first one, and it's an acting competition. So I did this scene. I didn't want to really send it out because I didn't have my makeup on. It looked kind of crazy, but it was a good scene. I was insecure, right? But something I listened to a lot. Of Bob Proctor. And
you listen to a lot of what?
Bob Proctor. You Were Born Rich, and a lot of stuff they were talking about is
motivational
stuff. One of the big tenets was your job in life, you know, the universe is there to help you. Your job is to, you know, also be a part of it, play the game, and let your stuff out. Just send it out. So that was what was going through my head. So I decided just to email a bunch of producers and directors. I didn't even know Drew Harriott was on my list. I didn't know he was the director of The Secret. He's the only one who responded. And he said, I'm doing a film, and I have a woman who looks a lot like you. Her name is Immaculate Ilibigiza. I said, who?
Okay, go ahead. You can say who.
Who? Who is that? Then I proceeded to research her. She is an amazing woman. She is a Rwandan lady. She survived the Holocaust in 1999, the Rwandan mm-hmm. Holocaust genocide, where about a million Tutsis
yes,
were killed by
yes.
the Hutus.
Yes.
And
out of, well, I mean, I shouldn't go on about this, but the month before they were friends. What happens to people?
And that is the biggest thing in this movie. Because we're talking about forgiveness. How do you forgive someone who you grew up with, who you loved, who taught you, who was your teacher?
Yes.
And
Sunday
then
night and Monday morning
and
you're
then turns around
murdering
and
your, uh-huh.
is murdering you. Is hating
that what this,
you.
Is that what this deals
yes.
with? That is the question
that
I think I
yes.
and everybody was just... mystified
yes.
how this can happen
and
in the culture.
Well, watch the movie, you will see, because she goes through such an amazing transformation of hate, so poignant, so strong that her whole body is in pain, that needles are going through her skin all the way. She actually had to hide in a bathroom, and she thought it would be a couple days away from her family. No, it was 3 months. She was in a 3x4 foot bathroom for
but who
three
was
months.
Who was in that house that had this bathroom that was protecting her?
It was a Hutu pastor who let her and seven other women hide in the bathroom. So as an actor, we had to reenact that. Imagine going into a bathroom. We could barely even all get in. We couldn't even move all at the same time.
Oh, so it was her whole family. It wasn't just
Oh, not her.
Her
whole family. Her whole family died.
But so it was just her alone.
Her and some other women.
Oh,
she
that's
didn't
what
know.
I'm guessing because you said
yeah.
we all. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So unfortunately, her family
okay.
died. Mom, dad, everybody. And in the bathroom, there was seven other women playing that part. Just being in such a small
mm-hmm,
quarter,
mm-hmm.
you can't all stand up or sit down. You have to lay. You can't talk because if you do, people out there already think you're there. They're screaming. They don't usually. They don't have two bathrooms. So that's why she was really blessed. And
yeah.
twice all the Hutus came in and with machetes trying to
yes,
hack
yes.
up the furniture, trying to find anybody, wanted to kill anybody. All these quote-unquote cockroaches, they wanted to kill them. And, you know... Watch the movie. You'll see how they survive.
That was so horrible at the time. How old were
yeah.
you?
Yeah. 1994, goodness, I was like 12.
Yeah. And you were aware of this when you...
No. Okay. Most Americans aren't aware of it. Clinton administration did nothing about it. We talk about a lot of different Holocausts, the Jewish Holocaust, but this one was happening right now. We ignored it. People are dying,
But nobody did anything about the Hitler's Holocaust when it was happening
exactly.
either.
So, I mean, Holocaust in general, it's just interesting that we can ignore.
I shouldn't say nobody. That takes away from the few people.
Right.
Like this
people
woman.
Did.
Yes.
Schindler. I mean, and people did in this Holocaust too, but.
Obviously, somebody gave her a bathroom.
Exactly. Someone did. And he was a Hutu. He didn't have to. He didn't even tell his children.
Yes.
So it's a story about forgiveness.
Well, okay, watch the movie. So
yes.
You won't say how she made it out and into the world again.
I won't say how she did, but I'm going to say it will change you. And it will change the way you look at forgiveness and how there might be something small somebody does cuts you off in traffic or...
That happens too. Yes, you have to work on that one.
Exactly.
Because we're all familiar with that one.
Right.
And by the time you're gritting your teeth and swearing under your breath, they're off into Riverside County.
Yep.
Feeling just fine, and your liver is in a knot, and your stomach acid is burning a hole through it.
You're physically feeling that. And
you're the one who suffers. But
you're suffering.
How do you get to forgiveness from this?
So for me, as an actor, I did not get it. I was so freaked out when I was in Amsterdam. I'm like, they're going to fire me. I don't understand. I don't understand how. And there was a point she had to forgive.
Because you're young and you're beautiful and you've had a lovely life. No, I'm serious. You've had a beautiful, lovely life. Well, how do you get to?
Right. So my director, Drew, really helped me. He said, I forgive you to the person who killed people in my family. I didn't understand how I could not forgive someone.
I will tell you that I will never be on that list. Yes,
I was thinking if someone killed my parents or my family, I don't know if I could say that. And he said, say, I free you. I free you. So I had to say that a bunch of times before I can say I forgive you. So you're freeing them. But you're really freeing yourself.
Well, of course, because when you let somebody else off the hook, you also let yourself off the hook.
Because
you're on that same hatred hook.
Yeah.
Which is a big part, by the way, of some of the love letters that we do. We can get to that. Yeah. But still, what are you freeing the person from when you say that?
When you say, I free you, you're freeing them from the guilt. And the worry and the negative vibration that they can wallow in a circle. It's a circle, right? It's a loop that you go in.
So you're deciding that freeing them is a way of saying, I won't dwell on this any further?
I won't dwell on it, and I free you from dwelling on it. You don't need to. When you're around me, you don't need to dwell on it. Some people feel like most of their life they need to justify their negative behavior or some circumstance.
Like killing somebody's family.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge one. That's such an extreme example.
Yes, it is.
That makes you think she can do it, you can do it. Because for me, I mean, people piss me off and then I'll think of situations like how I'll get them back.
We're both sitting here. We need a television room because we are both sitting here. We are gritting our teeth and clenching our fists.
Yeah, and if Immaculate could forgive someone who killed people in her family, her mom, her dad, then I can forgive someone who says something mean about me, who treats me with disrespect, who, I can let it go for myself. I could consciously choose my thoughts and not think about that anymore.
That's true, I guess. But do you also, part of, we do a lot of forgiveness love letters.
Yeah.
And you have to do it the way I think. You can't say I forgive you.
Mm.
That sets you up on a higher level of being, but forgiveness through understanding of some sort is kind of a clean way to do it. But still,
there's many ways. There's many ways. I'm of the opinion.
If somebody says something mean about you, they're not saying something about you.
Saying something about themselves.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that is so true.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with your butt or your anything.
Hurt people. When you're hurt, you hurt other people.
Yes.
So you have to look at that with compassion, or you could do another thing, which is completely not think about it. Think about something else.
So what's your life like now?
My life is awesome. I live in Santa Monica now.
No, but her life.
Oh, her life.
Yeah, she's still
her life. She's amazing. I got to meet her. Yeah. I got to meet her after I did the movie, and she loved the movie. Oh, so that's a great endorsement. So everyone should see The Power of the Heart. But I met Immaculée Libigiza in Pasadena. She's a speaker now. Uh-huh. She speaks all over the world. She used to speak with Wayne Dyer, but, you know, he passed.
Yeah.
And I went to one of her talks when I met her, and she tells you about her life, and now she does tours and speaks to people about forgiveness and love.
So she strengthened you.
Oh, my goodness.
I can see that in your face.
Yeah. Yes. She's a brilliant woman. I mean, she's so classy and beautiful and just graceful. She texted me the other day. I almost died. I'm like, Immaculée is texting me. You don't understand.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yes. Well, she's got some huge status in that area of spiritual giant.
She is a spiritual giant.
I guess is what you have to say.
Giant.
Oh my goodness! So your life is good.
My life is good. I mean, because there's good and bad things about it, but the fact that I get
What are the hardest things
for me?
Yeah.
I mean, now you
besides being cut off on the freeway.
Well, there's an expectation. Once you do a film, I have an expectation now. I had an expectation now that life would be just easy peasy. I did one movie, everything should roll in. It's not the case still, you know. It's still difficult to break into Hollywood.
Also because people have to write parts for you.
Exactly. Have to be known in Hollywood, you know. So it's still a challenge, you know, every day to get I have more confidence within me because I have spoken to a lot of people. I've done talks and I've met a lot of bigger people in the industry and in the spiritual world because they've seen my work, but it's still getting other people to see it is still a challenge because it's not something that's in theaters and everybody knows it right off the bat.
Yes. Well, let's just switch for a second because we've got a couple more minutes and I know you've got to go because you said you have a call back, so I want you out of here. But letters, love letters, and you talked about dropping a note. Mm. Do you do that regularly?
Well, one of the things I feel that I do sometimes, should do more.
Yes, that's going to be my point. Really.
Is write how much I love someone or how much I appreciate someone.
For sure.
You know, really make sure that they know and that they're consciously aware that I'm thinking about them and that I admire them or that I love them. I try to take that time.
And for specific reasons.
Very specific reasons.
You're so special doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're so special and I love you. It means something because sometimes you don't say that. But yeah,
you're so special because.
Yes. Or maybe I haven't been able to get together with you, but I'm looking at you from afar and I see you on Facebook and I love what you're doing. I can't wait so we
That's
can get
fabulous.
Together.
Yes.
Something like that. And I try to, you know, keep up with people.
Cause have you ever written to the director of this movie?
Oh, me and Drew are in contact all the time.
I mean a letter in your handwriting.
I have not actually, not
okay,
in my handwriting.
Think about this.
You have
played a part in an important movie, an important film that will be historically important. Can you imagine someday what it will feel like for somebody to find a letter from the woman who played this part in her own handwriting 50 years down the line?
That would be great.
It will be great. You know, when we find those letters, that's the truest history.
Mm-hmm.
And you're part of film history and entertainment and creative and spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, would you love to find a letter from this woman someday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
These things unearthed. Oh, maybe you'll do that.
I will.
Can you leave here with a homework assignment?
I will do a homework assignment for you, Janet. And actually, for me, I love that.
Yes.
You know, in my handwriting and... You know, we type everything now. And
handwriting is king. You know, everybody, we type. We do it on the word processor.
Exactly.
And everybody has Lucida Bright and Helvetica.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has your handwriting.
No.
And also, when somebody finds that letter in years to come, they will be touching something that's felt the touch of your hand.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's how you're going to get to hold hands over the centuries.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay.
I love that.
Thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
I wish you luck. I'm going to go find this movie so we can just order it and watch it on our...
Yes. Just, I would suggest to everybody, make sure you're in a quiet area.
Yes.
And fear of distractions. It's such a powerful movie. You're probably going to watch it more than once because every time you watch it, you're going to learn.
But we'll just get it on our screen.
You can get it on your screen. And, yeah, you can either, I think you can rent it for $5, or I would suggest buying it because you are going to watch it more than once.
Oh, so that's what I'm asking. Yeah. You can actually,
You could rent it right there from iTunes.
Okay.
And you can buy from Amazon as well. It was number one in Japan.
Okay,
in
buying Amazon. It. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Amazon. And say the name one more time of the movie.
The Power of the Heart.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes.
And that, watching it in a quiet space without distractions.
Yes.
I'm going to say to you, that's where you write your love letters also.
Yes.
Where nothing else, the dryer buzzer's not going to go off.
Exactly.
The phone's not going to ring.
Yeah.
15 minutes, it's all yours.
Right. I think multitasking is overrated. Just enjoy the moment that you're in.
Good for you. Some things you have to give your whole heart to.
Give your whole heart.
Power in the heart.
Okay. The power of the heart.
Thank you. I hope we'll be in touch.
Of course.
Maybe someday if you have something else you'd like to talk about or another project you're working on, you'll come back and share that.
I would love to. I'm working on something called Sexy Happy Success.
Sexy Happy what?
Success.
Okay. Yes. Is that a film you're working on or a...
Nope. It's actually a course that I'm working on. There's certain tenets of being sexy.
Okay.
So being surface level, how you look, how you dress, social level, how you interact with somebody. Is it the best it could be? And then soul level, who you are when nobody's looking.
Yes. Okay.
So that's coming.
There's a lot to say about that.
Yeah. It's in development. So we'll definitely talk about that later.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I want to. Okay.
For sure.
So this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye for now. And please remember that if you think you need a special reason to write a love letter, there always is one.
Absolutely.
Just do it. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.